position number 21292, Rule 1.
Ron Phelps, Rule 1. Where were you born, please?
Cheltenham, Gloucestershire.
Which year was this?
1922.
Did both your mother and father come from Cheltenham?
They came from Gloucestershire, but out in the country, at a place called Withington.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Cheltenham?
No. We left there when I was about 2, I think. And we went to live in a place called Compton Casey. And my dad was able to get a job as a gamekeeper. As he'd just come out of the army, or more or less after the war, you know. And he'd hadn't had any proper jobs. He'd sort of gone from job to job. At that time, it was very difficult to get jobs. I can remember he said he was doing some tram driving even in Cheltenham, you know, when the strike was on and all that sort of thing. I expect he was a blackleg. Never mind. Anyway, he was able to get a job as a gamekeeper because his father was a gamekeeper, and when he was a young man, he was sent off to Wales, to a big estate, to train as a gamekeeper, you see. But eventually, I suppose, he didn't like it very much over there. I don't know whether he wasn't all that well treated. He went off and joined the army when he was about, I think he actually put his age on, but I don't know. But sometimes he said he did and sometimes he said he didn't. But he would have joined the army in about the early part of the 20th century, about 1900, between 1900 and 1905, I think, or 1904. And he spent a lot of time in India in those days. He was in the artillery, the garrison artillery.
So you really grew up in Compton Casey?
No. My dad was a gamekeeper. And they were like farm labourers. They had to find a different job about every 3 or 4 years. No, we moved from Compton Casey to Yanworth, which was a village not all that far from there. And we worked for my dad worked for Lord Vestey for about 4 or 5 years, I suppose. And then he moved on. I don't know how long he worked there. He moved on. It was like farm labourers around about September time. They were very often asked to find another position, if you know what I mean, because it was very poor wages in those days. I think my dad had about 35 pounds. He had 5 shillings more than a farm labourer, which was 30 bob a week, and he had 35, I suppose. They did get their house, and of course, being a gamekeeper, he was able to get a few rabbits and things like that. So they got by. But I suppose... No, sorry. We didn't go to Yanworth first. We went to a place called Lloyd Cottage, which was near Colesbourne, all in the same little area. And that's where I started school, at Colesbourne. And because it was right in the middle of the woods, my mum wouldn't let me go to school until my sister was ready to go. And we went together, so I didn't start school till I was 6. And I went there for 4 years, would have been about 4 or maybe 5 years. And then we moved to this place called Yanworth. And from there, I was then, well, yeah. Must have been 4 years, because I took me 11 plus when I went to North Leech, which I passed, and had an interview to go to Westwoods Grammar School, but I'm afraid the situation of the family was such that me being the eldest, and I already having three sisters, my mum wasn't able to afford the clothes that were required to go to a grammar school, like sports clothes and uniforms and all that sort of stuff. So I didn't ever go to grammar school. I carried on at North Leech until we moved again. I was 13 then, and we moved to a place called Ewen, E-W-E-N, which is near to Cirencester, and my dad worked as a gamekeeper. He was a gamekeeper all the time for a estate near Somerford Keynes, which was the next, Ewen was a little hamlet. Somerford Keynes was where the boss man lived at Somerford Keynes Manor. I forget what his name was. Maybe it'll come to me. Anyway, I had 1 year at Kemble School after that, and then I was 14, and off I went to work.
What was that? What work did you do?
Well, the first job I did was a milk boy for the co-op. They were starting the milk round in Cirencester, and I had to take milk on a truck, push it from Cirencester to Sidington, various stops on the way, and then return and take out a bike and go the opposite way from Cirencester to Stratton. For this large amount of money, I was paid 10 bob a week, I think. So after a little while, a job came up as an errand boy at a grocer's called Gillett's, and the pay was 12 and 6 a week, so off I went to Gillett's for a little while. I stayed there for a while, and eventually there was an opportunity to be an apprentice at the co-op. So I went back to the co-op as a grocery and provisions apprentice, going back down to 10 bob a week. Yeah, the pay was for a 4-year apprenticeship, which was 10 shillings the first year, 12 and 6 the second year, 15 shillings the third year, and 20 shillings the last year, the 4 years. So that's by this time it was, let me think, 1938, I think, then. So this is what I did, learnt all the grocery trade, which is, had a couple of years, but then the war came. And being a bit of a silly young man, I suppose, I wanted to go. So the only way I could get into the army was at 17 and a half, was by joining as a regular. And my dad said, if I were you, I should wait a bit, and he said perhaps something else will come up, which eventually did, because in June 1940 it was announced that you could volunteer for the duration. So this is what I did immediately as soon as I could, you see, and I first of all was sent to the Wiltshire Regiment, for we weren't there very long, maybe a month or 2 months.
What was your training like?
Well, it was, well, I was quite amazed. Well, I'm still amazed. We were sent to Beaufort Barracks, and we were in barrack rooms with sheets. We had sheets for 2 weeks, and that was the last time I saw any sheets for the whole of my army career. And we were sent down in under canvas then, in Beaufort Fields, in bell tents, you know. I think it was, was it 8 to a tent or 10 to a tent? I can't remember. Anyway, it was all feet to the centre pole, if you know what I mean, in those days. Yeah, well, it was fairly rigorous, and I don't know whether it was good training or not. But anyway, this didn't last all that long, because they decided that all us volunteer people were not old enough to go overseas. So they formed what was called a Young Soldiers Battalion. And this was back into the Gloucesters. It was called the 70th Gloucesters. So we were all transferred into the 70th Gloucesters. And we did various jobs around in this general area, Wiltshire and Gloucestershire, and that sort of thing. Like I remember we went to Bristol to do the Christmas post once, and we were on Templemead Station doing the Christmas post, you know, taking all the sacks of post off the trains and putting them on into the sorting offices. And that was a bit of something new for me. Anyway, we stayed in Bristol a little while, and we sort of do various guards. I was on guard on the suspension bridge quite a lot. We had a little private, well, a big private house up there, I suppose it was, where we stayed, and we did, I don't know what we were supposed to do, but we were on guard. I suspect you know the suspension bridge up in the top there. We used to go up in the top part on each end and keep a watch out, fire watch, I suppose, really, it was, to a great extent. And while we were there, they had the first big raid on Bristol. And we saw that burning all over the place, and a lot of the battalion, they weren't actually, I was on guard actually that night, so I didn't go, but quite a few of the battalion went down and helped with heavy rescue, you know. And we didn't get any explosive bombs near the suspension bridge, not really, but we were well showered with incendiaries. There was incendiaries all over the place, in the garden of this place and all around there. Yeah, I remember that. And also we did various sort of guards in different towns, like we went to Wells and Street, and we also put the barbed wire around Yeovilton, which was in the making. Yeovilton Aerodrome was in the making that time, and they wanted somebody to put the barbed wire, so we put wire all the way around there. I remember at one time. That's where I found out the difference between army food and RAF food. And I thought, I've joined the wrong mob here. Cool, what a difference. Dear, oh dear. Anyway, that's by the way. After that, we went to various places, and eventually there came a job up in the office to be a clerk. So I thought, oh, well, that'll be a change. I'd been in a shop and that sort of thing. I thought I could do it anyway. I got through the test all right, and I was made a clerk, class 3 or something like that. And things went on for a month or two, and then eventually somebody must have noticed I was a clerk, and I was sent to a primary training centre in Beverley in Yorkshire to assist with the intake of civilians into the forces, you know, making out their paperwork and all that sort of thing, you know. And I was up there for, 18 months, I suppose, or something like that. But eventually, it wasn't a bad little job, really. Eventually, the ATS came in, and they took our jobs, and anyone that was A1 was sent back to their unit. So I was sent back to the Gloucesters, and I went to the 9th Battalion, who at that time were in Belfast. Stayed there a few months, and from Belfast I was transferred to the 7th Battalion, Gloucester Regiment still, who were at a place called Penn Wood, which was near High Wycombe. Oh, I forgot to say, while we were in Belfast, it came round on company orders that volunteers for the parachute regiment, you could volunteer for the parachute regiment and get an extra 2 shillings a day, which, as I was only getting about 2 and 6 a day anyway, was a great incentive, as you could. So a few of us volunteered. Didn't hear anything for a little while, but in the meantime, we'd been transferred to the 7th Battalion, who were in Penn Wood there. We did various sort of exercises and things like infantry battalions do, you know. And eventually it came up that we had to go for an interview for the parachute regiment, and I'm not sure how many of us went, but I remember that 5 of us passed.
What did they ask you at the interview?
They gave us some sort of an intelligence test and that sort of thing, and medical, of course, and that. I don't remember. I know I was both surprised to learn that I had an IIQ, but I don't know why that was. They had a book there with a number of different things you had to say, like there was 3 things you had to say, which was which, you know. And I seem to be able to do that quite easily. And this man was quite surprised that I had an IIQ like that, but I don't know whether that was a good test or not. I wouldn't have thought so, because I didn't have much schooling, as you can already see. Anyway, eventually word came through that we had to go to the parachute regiment training depot at Hardwick, which is near Chesterfield, I don't know if you know. And there, we really got some training then.
What that did it consist of?
Well, very much physical training. We weren't allowed to walk at all in the barracks between about 7 o'clock in the morning till about 6 o'clock at night. We had to double all the time, and of course there was various runs and I don't think it was every morning, but we had to do various tests to get through, like 7 miles running walk within about an hour or something like that, you know, and with full kit and all this sort of stuff, and various things, and eventually managed to get through that all right. And then they started thinking about, I think that was about a month, maybe 3 weeks or something like that. And eventually they decided to start training for the jumping. So we went to, I think it was Ringway Airport, and did some more physical training and all sorts of jumping about and this sort of thing and rolling about here and there. Which was, we were trained by RAF instructors there. And after a little while of that, they started on the jumps, which were, the first two was from a captive balloon. And then we started doing from aircraft. And eventually when we, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was about 8 altogether, we were passed out as parachutists then. And I was sent to the 9th Battalion at Bulford then, along with my 5 mates. We'd managed to stick together. We all went to the same unit.
Which company of the 9th Battalion were you in?
I was in A Company. Some of the others went to other companies, but we all went to the 9th Battalion. My best mate, George Goose, he still carried on in the A Company. So that's when we started doing a bit of a serious sort of training, you know, in various jumps. We did a lot of jumps, and one in particular I remember I mentioned was we did an exercise from Bulford to Scotland, and we went in old
In Whitley's?
Whitley's, that's right. Yeah, it was Whitley's or Wellington's. I think it was Whitley's, yeah. That's right. And I remember it took about 6 hours to go from Bulford to Scotland in them. It was quite a long way. Anyway, we jumped off in the Dee Valley, and our the exercise was to capture a point on the top of the Cairngorms. So we went over the top of the Cairngorms, and I managed to find out where we were. It was extremely misty at the top, but somebody knew the way. And then we came down and into, is it Aviemore? Over the other side, I think it was Aviemore there. And from there, we came down by train to London.
Was the exercise a success?
Yes, yes. Yes, the... I forget what unit it was that was supposed to be guarding this stronghold. They were quite surprised that we were able to find it anyway, as I understand it. So everybody was very happy with our position, I think. Yeah. So off we went to London to march through London. We were all smartened up. We had to change on the train into some decent kit, and all issued with 45 revolvers. That was the only time I ever had those, to march through London.
This was just the paras?
It was just yes. It was just ours. Yes. Yeah. I got a picture upstairs of, two pictures of the march. And on one of them is my father marching along, because we were told that we were going on leave after the exercise. And if our parents liked to come up to London, they could do so. So lo and behold, there was my dad marching along in step on this photograph. Yeah. So after we'd finished the exercise, then we went off on leave for a week. I remember that one in particular, yeah. But then that was towards about that time was the end of my, what we call, what should I call, proper soldiering, because they found out that I was a clerk and they needed a clerk in A Company. So I was made into A Company clerk. So I was not so much of a fighting man, if you know what I mean. I still did jumps and things, and also we had to do certain distance route marches to pass. You know, we did 20 or 30, and eventually we did a 50 route march in as part of our training. You know, and what I liked about the para was that everybody did the same. Even the commanding officer did 50 miles route march, and we respected each other in that respect, you know. And they also did the jumping, which is everybody respects one another for jumping out of those aircraft. So there was a good we felt good about each other, if you know what I mean. And there was a different feeling between, shall I say, the officers and the NCOs in the privates. Even, you know, they didn't seem to be so aloof as they had been in the Gloucestershire Regiment, if you understand what I mean. Everybody seemed to be a bit more friendly, yeah.
What does a company clerk have to do? What kind of jobs?
I had a lot to do. I had a lot to do with pay and company orders, all that sort of thing, and maybe arranging some duties or something like that. Yeah, it was a reasonable sort of a job, really.
Did you have a lot of power?
Not really. I was made to. I was made acting unpaid Lance Corporal to give myself a stripe. But of course, I didn't have much power over anybody. It was only a sort of a decoration stripe, you know. So I'd be a bit better than the private, I suppose. Yeah. And that's it. That's it. That was my highest rank, acting unpaid as corporal. Yeah. So where have we got to now?
Well, you were at Bulford.
Ah, yes. Well, we stayed at Bulford and did all these various exercises and things. Some of which I didn't do, being a clerk in the office.
Did you realise what you were preparing for?
Well, yes. There was a great deal of rumour about it, you know, and eventually it came through that we were expected to be in the invasion force, and they built a copy of the battery we were to attack at a place near Newbury. And so there was various exercises to accustom ourselves to the position of the gun emplacements and that sort of thing there for a number of weeks before D-Day itself. As D-Day approached, we were sent to a camp at Broadwell, which is near Bybury. There was a landing strip there from which the aircraft were going to take off. And we were confined to camp for 2 weeks before we went. And it was explained to us the actual details of where we were going. And everything had to be hush-hush, so we weren't allowed out at all for that 2 weeks. So we stayed in and played cards most of the time. And I lost all my money. And I thought, well, that's a good word about it.
What was your morale like at this time?
Well, it wasn't too bad because, I didn't really think that I was going to be killed in the war somehow. I had in my mind that I would be all right. But unfortunately, one of the other fellows that came with us from the Gloucesters,